$50,000 to the good. So.
I think that's our report. Right?
That's the report. Thanks, Carol. Did you want to talk about the scholarships?
Oh, no, I covered that in the budget, so, yeah.
All right, let's go to Tyson then, to the resource prosecutor report.
So I have a very detailed report in here. I won't go over all of that, but maybe just some highlights. I work on the federal fiscal year in my grant because I receive federal funding. So you'll see that's how my numbers are tracked. From October 1st until now, I've trained just short of 1,600 people this year, which is a lot more than I've done and has been done for some time. And I've still got 3 more months to go in my grant year, and already have plenty to do. So I anticipate that number getting closer to 2,000, if not over 2,000 people for the year. We'll see how that goes. And so I was happy about that when I put those numbers together and saw that, so I thought I'd highlight that, pat myself on the back a little bit for that, but that's okay. I'm trying to, and I talked to Bob about this a little bit the other day, I'm trying to expound some of my audience. I just had an opportunity to go down and train at Bryce Canyon to Prevention Coalitions, and these are mostly just community-based individuals. There was principals there, people that worked with like county human services, groups, different things like that. And my presentation was very well received, and I've had several people come and ask if I'd be willing to come like next year and talk to students at their schools or come to a town hall. And I said, absolutely. You just tell me when and where, and I'll be there and come and talk to them about it. And so you may see some of my audience broadening a little bit. My grant technically falls under impaired driving, but also youth alcohol as well. That's the section. And so I can kind of justify it under my grant purposes. As long as I mention alcohol, I guess, to the youth, I can justify those things. But I'm kind of excited about that. Not that I don't want to train prosecutors and law enforcement. I continue to do that. But it is nice to broaden your horizons a little bit and talk to different groups of people and really get our message out. I was telling Bob, I think we have an opportunity at UPC to show our community, not just prosecutors, but show our communities what resources we have available. Because if we can help better communities, then it helps prosecutors, right? And so all of these things are connected. So that's something I'm hopefully going to be looking at a little bit as we go into the future. Like I said, just broadening some of those audiences and getting a chance to talk to groups that maybe this position hasn't really ever talked to in the past. So,
well, Tyson, that's a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
197 at that June 14th?
Yeah.
That's a good community outreach, I think.
Yep, and they're from all over the state. Actually had somebody from San Juan County come up to me and said, one of our county commissioners was here and wants you to come. And I said, well, I'm coming to San Juan County on July 9th already, so do you want to just come and listen to that one? And they're like, yeah, sure. So we'll kill two birds with one stone on that one. But so.
Well, maybe we'll open some dialogue with kids, too.
Yeah.
Home from school, what did you do today? We talked about alcohol. So I think that's great.
And this presentation was specifically on marijuana.
And that works great.
And so just with some of the issues that we've been seeing with that, obviously, we had a fine discussion about that in the last meeting. So
that's good.
You know, and along those same lines, what we were talking about is, you know, he might be able to include the resource officers, you know, if he's at the school, you know, to let kids know, you know, see who they are and whatnot. But, you know, even with what Marlise is doing, is we just see a real opportunity here for us, you know, as UPC, as prosecutors, to get the word out. And, you know, maybe that includes inviting, you know, somebody from your offices, the county attorney's offices, then to come and, you know, just be that face. So I'm excited about this possibilities. Because I don't have enough to do it, because it is.
You go to those communities to get that local prosecutor there as well.
Well, and with the juvenile justice changes, a lot of the schools are keeping these charges. Mm-hmm. If they're on campus, they're keeping them inside. So mm-hmm. I think that's also a great outreach, and clearly you can justify by the support and numbers that you're seeing.
Yeah. So, any questions for me?
Appreciate your work, Tyson.
Thank you.
Marlise?
I too have a pretty detailed report as to my wanderings and whereabouts the last 3 months, and I have been all over. It's interesting, when we started doing the legislative update, some of the rural areas, I feel like, yeah, you don't want to come all the way out here. And both Tyson and I reaffirmed to them, we would love to come out here. We'd love, you know, love to reach out and to be in those smaller communities. And so, you know, with that reassurance, I think that's also helped them reach out to us. But the biggest focus and push for me the last 3 months, and for probably the next 2 months, looking at my calendar, is going to be the HB 200 trainings. And I was just literally scrambling at first, trying to get into stride. Now that I've gotten into my stride, I've started reaching out to the prosecutors in that area and letting them know, hey, I'm in your town training, your officers would love to have you. One of the officers this past week in one of the places I was, I couldn't tell you which one, he says, you know, are we getting this training because we're screwing things up? And I said, absolutely not. I said, we make mistakes, yes. Do prosecutors make mistakes? Yes. Does the criminal justice system make mistakes? Yes. I said, this is about everyone getting on the same page and working together to improve our response to victims. And overall, I've had just like excellent response from people at these trainings. Yesterday was funny. I was in Vernal and did two sessions in Vernal, the morning session. There's probably 40, 50 people. And, you know, very interactive, very engaged. You know, the assistant chief came up and he says, you know, you were just nailing this. Our officers are just, you know, lapping this stuff up. It was just so good for them. In the afternoon, it was like crickets. Yeah. It was like pulling teeth. I was like, you know, I wanted to ask, you know, do you speak English? Is there, what's going on here? But overall, it's the morning response that I'm getting. I had the chief up in Harrisville said that it was the best training he's ever had in 40 years because all the training focuses on suspects and typically investigations. And he goes, that's the best training I've ever had because now I actually understand what's been going on with victims. So I think it's really good, and obviously it's an overall shift in our approach. And certainly, you know, I'll be providing this material and training prosecutors at conferences. But I had one officer also asked, you know, are you training judges on this? And I said, judges get selected from pools of attorneys. I said, we do our best to have prosecutors, you know, be selected as judges where we can. I said, so we'll see that shift. But also, I think I'm going to reach out and try and see if I can get involved in some of the judge trainings as well so that they understand. Because a lot of bench trials, you know, they get to make the decision and they don't understand. Yeah. So, any questions for me?
Marlise and Tyson just been doing amazing things. So,
appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
On that topic of judges, I forgot to mention that I'm actually on the agenda for the Justice Court Judge Annual Conference in September, which is going to be interesting because they have to have me present with a defense attorney because I can't come and just give one side. So it'll be an interesting. Sounds like it's going to be Lindsay Jarvis.
Oh, wow.
So,
really? Yep. It'll be a dynamic interaction.
In fact, the Justice Court judge that recommended me thought that the AOC called me, and her exact quote was, the judge who recommended you said the two of you will be a perfect pairing. And that was my response. As I laughed.
Wow.
I've been wanting to get in front of the judges, and Marlise and I have talked about this
forever. And that
forever.
Is hard to do.
And so I'll take it and make it work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Eat prosecutor. Okay, let me give my brief spiel, and then we'll let Ron bring us up to date. Last time, I think I told you, you know, I applied for the additional $235,000, and I thought that I would know by now if it was awarded. What my grant manager, when he said we would know by June, what he meant is that he would know if we had to make adjustments to the grant. We actually won't find out if the money is awarded until probably mid-September, so it probably won't even be in time for next council meeting. So, because I didn't want to send out an MO in another MOA that was ambiguous and, well, it will be this much if this and that, I'm just waiting to send out an updated MOA until I have hard numbers. Let's see, turn the page. Yeah, you asked last time which counties had already signed the MOA. In no particular order, we've got ones from Beaver, Garfield, Iron Cane, San Pete, Sevier, Summit, Juap, Cedar City, Grantsville, Park City, Saratoga Springs, Spanish Fork, West Valley City.
So we now have Wasatch.
And Wasatch, but again, that's not really concerning to me because it's gonna change anyway, but y'all just wanted to know how many had committed, so that's it. So Ron, status.
Okay, so we're just been working on in the background on some, you know, some of the lists and, you know, drop down lists and what goes into them and things like that, that's getting firmed up. We now have a firmed up development test page. It was changing every little while because it updates something and then every all the users in it would get erased. Anyway, so we've got a fairly stable one now. So if somebody wants to see it, they Journal Technology thinks it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Just let me know and I'll get a user account for you to go in and just check it out. Like, it might be a little hard for some folks that aren't really good at figuring things out for themselves because I can't give out much training right now because things are kind of still in progress and I'm still learning. So, but you can go in and look at it if they want to, and it's fairly stable. What isn't there right now is the juvenile and civil have been, we've kind of gone over them, but they haven't plugged it into the test one yet. But it's pretty close to being ready to go, so there will be a juvenile component and a civil component. We've had a couple of civil attorneys come from a couple of counties to one of our meetings, but they saw what we had started with, gave their input as to what would help them, and so they're kind of building it from there, and so hopefully the civil side will have something to do with it. Just be aware that if you have civil people that don't normally touch anything and are going to touch that, are going to use that, that's just another user that you have to count. I mean, if they use due prosecution and civil, it's just one user, it doesn't matter. But if you have a civil person that normally wouldn't be in it, but is going to because of the civil component that's built into it, then it's just another user you have to add to your list. So just so we don't get, you know, we'll work all that out as we go along, I suppose, because some people are saying they have two or three users. I talked to them and said, oh, if the attorneys use it, it might be four or five. I said, well, the attorneys should be using it. But, of course, it's up to individual offices how they do it. So I'm not too worried about that, but we'll just kind of learn that as we go. We're hoping that we're on schedule to kind of get sometime in September to get the first couple of places using it, give them a couple of months to go over it and find little problems and issues that we didn't think about or didn't come up with or didn't fix right or whatever, get them fixed before we start moving out to others. Once we do get to that point, I'm guessing it'll be November, probably before we really get that worked out, maybe December. So I'm thinking the first of the year we could probably be ready to start putting it into 2019 first be put into everybody that's ready. And those who have signed the MOA and joined your agreements will be the ones that we can go with for right now. And as we get closer, of course, everybody will hear more about it. We get the grant things figured out by September. At least September, we can give everybody exact figures. And that's what some of them are waiting for, and I certainly can't blame them for that. Because it's kind of... I can see how a lawyer would be nervous about signing something where it's ambiguous. I would be nervous about signing something ambiguous. But, I mean, we've got, you know, these would be your maximum costs, and these are your minimum costs, but, you know, the range in there is the problem. We just don't know for sure where it's going to hit in that range.
Salt Lake County is scheduled to begin August 1st.
Oh, in August, good.
It might be interesting to... you know, hear problems and whatever.
There will never be complaints from our office.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. It was supposed to be July 9th, and it's been pushed back to August, so I can see it's probably pushed back again until September, but we're getting closer.
You're getting real close to being able to do it. Good. Yeah. Good.
And that's been a big advantage for our committee.
It's actually helped us to have, yeah. We started out with what you guys had already done, and then we went through it and said, well, this or that, or something doesn't quite apply, or this. That's a good idea, whatever. So,
we appreciate your support in the path.
Because that's
how that's what I'm good at.
Trailblazer.
Exactly.
Plowing the in front of us so that we can follow in your footsteps. I like that.
I forgot to ask you before the meeting. Have you guys discussed about city codes? Have you figured out a way?
Yeah, we did. At our last meeting, we discussed about how to handle city codes, and Journal Tech said we have a good way of handling that.
Okay.
Basically, what will happen is. Just a quick, there's a way to define who's in a city and who's in a county, and they'll only see their own stuff, their own county stuff and their own city stuff. So they're going to mark the codes that are local codes, whether they're ordinances or statutes or whatever else you call them, either county or city, will be marked with that particular county or city's code in the table so that only they will see that particular code. How to get them in, haven't been determined how we'll do that yet, because the bottom line is you could always enter them in manually. Mm-hmm. That'll be available. But we're hoping to be able to get, say you give me a spreadsheet or give us a spreadsheet of your ordinances, I can just build that into a thing that'll just pop it in for you. We've already got that, we've already got that mostly done, in fact, for the state statutes. Mm-hmm. We just build this, from what I'm already doing, what Tyson is doing with the update, I take the file we create from that, and that can be directly used to just pop it into the e-prosecutor. So it's not going to be a big, one time I thought that I was going to have to do a big project to make that possible. They've already done that in the background, so it's already, that's pretty much, we hope we can apply that to the local and the city codes too. So just get a spreadsheet of them and just pop it in and you're done. And then they just show up. So they should show up just for the city or county that puts them in. There also is going to be some facility which isn't built yet because we're not quite there, where if you're in a county and you, or a city for that matter, you're just in the prosecutor, you want to find out if a defendant has got cases pending in other counties or cities, you can do a search and say, yeah, that's matched for this defendant in this county, the city, whatever. It won't give you a whole lot of details about it, but enough to know what's going on with that person, and then you can contact the city or county for more details about that. So there'll be some interaction within between everybody as far as being able to do a search for other people in the state that are using the system that are in there, so you can find out a little bit about what's going on.
Will that apply to those that have the program but not through our contract?
Salt Lake County.
You know, we talked a little bit about that and said we could probably make that work. We just have to work it out with Salt Lake County. And the other ones have a different, have just where. So it may not, we don't know if we'll be able to integrate with them because it's a different system.
Well, now Carpel is different.
No, Carpel is different too, and it won't be with Carpel at all.
No, okay. All right. So
because Carpel is Uinta County, and I think Twilla County is using it, and Box Elder County, I think, are using Carpel. So no, we won't interact with those at all. But just the ones that have e-prosecutor for sure, we'll be able to search each other's database for defendants and say, are they there? And then you can get more. You won't get a ton of information. You won't get the whole case file, for example. You just get basic information that tells you this is the right person and what they've been charged with, so you can then follow up with that with the county or city that also has them. Maybe they've got cases pending in three places at the same time. I don't know. Anyway, it's just a little interaction we've done.
Well, that's huge.
Salt Lake County will be in a different server space, but there's a possibility of working out something that can talk to them too. We haven't dealt with that yet.
So, is there a way to turn off that sharing? I'm thinking about expunged cases.
I believe that's part of the security model, is to just be able to check it or uncheck it.
For a specific defendant.
For a specific case. Well, I don't know about a specific defendant. We haven't talked about that.
Well, a specific case, I guess.
You know, I haven't talked about that. We haven't talked about that level. That's a good point, though. For example, a case is very, you don't want anybody else to know anything.
Well,
about
if it's expunged,
you shouldn't know about it.
Technically, the agency that has the record can keep it. They just need to seal the record.
Okay.
But sharing that information is...
Well, we did talk about that security issue, that those records would be hidden even within the agency, except for those with the right security could see it, but nobody else could, even within that.
I mean, if it's hidden within the agency, as long as the other agencies can't see it.
I think that's that's a good point, though. I will make a note of that, and we'll bring it up and make sure that... And that'll be one of the things that'll kind of be... might be one of those things that come out as we start using and say, oh, wait, we didn't anticipate this. Let's fix that. So it'll be kind of a rolling process for a few months to kind of fix. I'm sure you guys will have that issue too as you get started using it live. Very few people are talking about, you know, transferring data from PIMS into it. And if they are, it's a separate project that between them and Journal Technologies. We're not going to do that.
We're not.
Yeah. We may put in like cases that will take a long time, like a homicide case.
They're still in process or something.
Move those over, but no, everything will be in two programs
for a little while. Yeah, that's typically the way it is. And there's been some talk about working out interfaces with police. That won't be done by us right now. But Journal Technologies is open to somebody wants to do it. They will contract with them separately to do it. I know Sandy City's talking about it because they already are getting some data from the police into what they've got now. but that is something we'll keep an eye on. But there's, just so everybody's aware, that is not part of the project, that's not part of the contract for right now, but we're looking into it so that we can, if somebody does it, it'll be easy to leverage what they've done to kind of move it forward.
Well, Salt Lake County definitely is doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Utah County has as well.
And they've done, but part of that has to be changed because it's a slightly different
sure.
system. But as long as other agencies are okay with it, we'll work with them to leverage what the work they've done to help us go forward on that too. But that is a separate project for us. It's not in our contract, so it will be more money to get that done. Or it may, if it's possible for me to do it, we'll just work it into the process of, you know, me programming those interfaces. If that's, I don't know what that involves yet, so I don't know if I could even. But that's, those are being talked about. The Holy Grail is, we're searching for that to get to where the data starts one place and follows all the way through with nobody ever having to enter it in again. Yeah. Or hand you a piece of paper or anything like that. But we're getting closer, a lot closer than we were 20 years ago, but still not there. But we're working towards that. This actually brings us to the level where it's possible to get there. Never been to that point where we could even do that yet. With very, you know, few accepted with people that have enough money to go at it. So that's kind of where we're at, and I think it's going along pretty good.
All right, thanks, Ron. Rest of your thing, the rest of it with Bob.
Yeah, okay. The UPC statute in your packet, not the one sheet that I gave you, I'll get to that in just a second, but in your packet is the proposed statute with the changes that we discussed last time. I put back in unusual prosecution expense, change the number to make a simple majority and quorum from 5 to 6, and then where it was recommended that we add consistent with state personnel policy, I put that language in. Now, this morning at SWAP, they suggested that SWAP be allowed to designate a member. Now, I pointed out that they were thinking that the big counties just had a seat at the council table, and I pointed out that no, it's just 4 county attorneys appointed by UCDAA. And so they asked for your consideration, you know, to allow the SWAP board to appoint one prosecutor, because they represent, you know, cities and counties at one time. One, it might be a city prosecutor one time, it might be a county attorney the next time. So what this one page is would reflect the proposed language to incorporate, to add a 13th member to the council. And so that's what you see underlined down here in paragraph 3. And then on the second page, that would require the attendance, or a quorum would go from 6 to 7. So that's this is the change based on the discussion this morning at SWAP. It doesn't affect the rest of the statute, the changes that we made last time. So
I thought they were happy with knowing that it was going to come through UCDAA.
I think a lot of the push for the SWAP member was before it was clear that UCDAA got the
pick. Oh, is that? Okay.
I thought by the time the discussion was over, I thought they were happy with the way that it was.
This definitely came up,
but I think that was...
That was at the beginning, because they thought, well, UAC's not even involved in
right.
this. And then when you read the statute that said that the UCDAA
was right.
from UAC did that,
okay.
and I think all of the concerns were alleviated.
Okay, I missed that final part. So then strike this, disregard these, and just go simply with what's in your packet, which, like I said, incorporates all of the changes that we discussed last time. So, and unless somebody sees something glaring, I think we're ready to go and find a sponsor.
Okay. And I told you I already talked to Senator Stevenson about that.
Right. So
the fact that it didn't deal with drugs or prostitution, he was pretty kind of excited to do it.
So what I'll do...
He didn't know that.
Do you think we need a vote? Decide, yeah, rather say this is what we want to put forth.
And do you want to get the language together for that funding thing?
Yes.
Take a vote to him?
Yeah.
And give me the names of those that... No, this is coming and are in favor of it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is once you approve it, then I will send you a cleaned up copy that you can present.
I move that we ask Senator Stevenson to sponsor legislation that closely matches this and maybe addresses the finance issue.
Yeah,
I would second that.
Okay, second by Steve. Any other discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Please move forward.
Great work. Not knowing fiscal note issues, I know I will be asked about it. The fiscal note, you guys told me that you've done this before. The only thing I see that's going to change would just be paying the mileage for those new council members. Is that what the...
It comes in your budget anyway, so it'd be zero fiscal.
Okay, so it is, I can report a zero fiscal note. Okay, great.
You think so, Will?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I finally met with Clint Drake, the chair of UMAA. I actually attended their spring conference. I'm going to try and do that every year. They let me present on e-prosecutor, but it was good. But I talked to them about, you know, trying to combine forces. As we've discussed in the past, the Fall Civil Conference, we cross, you know, have some issues that are the same. Their feeling is, and we talked to his board, is they're not really interested in joining with Civil Conference. They like what they're doing. Their group is actually so large right now, they are bursting at the seams at the Hilton Garden Inn. You know, to add any more, they would have to get a bigger space, which means we would have to get a bigger space. But really, the bottom line is they're not really seeing need right now to
now,
try
to... Yeah, the invitation is always open for the county
folks. Yeah.
And they just run it so differently because they basically make everybody pay dues.
Yeah.
And then they don't pay additional to go to the conference because the conference is included in their dues.
Right.
But they still will come up with some formula to let, you know...
Yeah.
Any of the county folks that want to go to that.
Right, and they're a 501c3, so they actually can have sponsors. I was surprised at how many sponsors, and they get awesome food. I'm just telling you. Because so, sponsors pay for it.
No,
we have good food, but I mean, this is like two grades up.
Oh.
You know?
Hey, a dessert for me.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. So, that's kind of... I don't really see us then trying to combine with UMA.
But then as part of that, remember that there was a little bit of a financial concern, and we didn't vote on this, SWAP didn't necessarily vote on this, but part of the discussion was that of course SWAP is, as we go through this evolution, is preparing a budget, but it seemed as though that the tenor of SWAP was that they're willing to participate in the future conferences. And in the past, I mean, you know, there's been a little bit of controversy with that, but even James Brackett, who's been pretty strong in her position, said, no, I'm talking about the past conferences. I think SWAP, she would be willing to help participate in that going forward. And so that should help us with that civil.
Yeah, so I'll prepare something and take it to SWAP when they meet next time and you know, talk to council. Post-recording fees was another issue. Excuse me, Director Stevenson and I had talked. We hadn't finalized anything before last council meeting. So the issue there was the service that we provide to law enforcement by traveling around the state. We were hoping that we could get post to further reduce their recording fees to come and record at our conferences. But as I was meeting with Tyson this week, he actually budgets that travel into his grant. And Marlisa's travel is paid through the SB 200 funds, so technically we're not expending any of our budget to go and do this. So it's, you know, there's not that financial incentive for Post to reduce their fees because you know, it's getting paid through other funds. Plus, what he told me is that they've already reduced their normal fee by half. They don't give a break to any of their other law enforcement agencies, so he can't in good conscience give us any, you know, further cost cutting on their recording fees. So, you know, if we decide that we want to have conferences recorded, we probably need to decide which one, but it's still gonna be around $3,000 for Post to come and record. So that's what I have to report.
Thanks for asking.
And I guess that as we look at that is just see how much it gets used and see what the
right.
I've been looking at the videos online. They're not being used hardly at all. I mean, you know, about four. Some of them have been seen four or five times. Some of them haven't been watched.
Right.
Except
and,
for by me.
And it's usually in June that they get watched because people are reporting their CLE
That's
and they're
exactly
cutting up
what
short.
I saw in my reports.
So
June was better than the rest of them.
I mean, Ron and I talked about, you know, buying better equipment. I mean, certainly not state of the art like Post, but better equipment. where we could, you know, produce a better recording of our own conferences, but we've just been so busy with e-prosecuting other things that we'll just keep looking at that, and if we get a solution, we'll come back to you with that. The last big thing on the agenda, it's really not that big because it's mostly quotes, is Virtra. As I told you last time, May, June, July, we've had